Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the Mile in Syracuse to the Bull Rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman. Presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the Mile at Syracuse to the Bull Rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Low Down and Dirty. I'm your co-host, Joe Adams, along with my buddy, Brian Whippy Whitman.
Go.
In studio tonight with us, our good friends that keep everything running smoothly here, Mr. Scott Deal.
The captain.
The captain. And the queen bee, Miss Tammy Allman.
The queen
also,
bee.
Rocking the Mike Guler.
Ooh, hey, rocking the 3G.
He's sporting the 3.
Real?
Rocking also, the 3G. In the studio tonight, we'd like to welcome our special guest, Mr. John Wellman.
The
welcome
underdog.
Aboard.
The underdog.
A couple things we're going to go over here first before we start chatting with John. Whip, how was your Thanksgiving?
Super. Didn't do nothing.
Not a bad Thanksgiving.
That's how I roll. You know? So it was all good.
Is that how you roll?
Yeah, that's how I roll. You know? Dollar bills. You know? But yeah, that's good. I mean, Thanksgiving's Thanksgiving. You know? The big holiday's Christmas.
I feel you. I actually had the pleasure of going to Nashville, Tennessee over the weekend to visit my daughter.
Cool.
I haven't seen her for a few months, so it was great to see her. Ended up going to this place called the Gaylord Opryland Hotel.
That's quite the place.
It's unbelievable, especially since it was all decorated up for the holidays. It was awesome. If you ever get a chance to go there, do it. The place is huge. A lot of stuff going on. You could ride a boat inside the hotel.
Cool. Did you see Elvis?
Quite a few times.
Yeah.
Trust me, he's still in the building.
Yeah, Elvis is still in Memphis.
How about you, Scotty D? How was your Thanksgiving?
Great. Unmuted. I am unmuted.
There you go. Now we can hear you.
I must have been all the way unmuted.
Unmuted.
No,
that's
my,
not the only
my,
problem you have.
My Thanksgiving, yeah, there you go. You're right. And my Thanksgiving was just more fun recuperating from rib fractures, you know? Same old deal. You know?
Typical day in the deal house.
Yeah, what the heck. Fall off the bike, hurt yourself, you know.
More medication.
More medication always helps.
Break some ribs, puncture a lung.
Eh. All in a day's work.
Did Mrs. tell you to park the bike yet?
she was so happy when that check came for that bike being destroyed. She was,
yeah.
No, you're not getting another one.
No. That space needs to be filled in the garage with something else, that's for sure. What can you dream of? But, you know,
how about some sort of small car division?
Midget?
You want to talk about a money pit. There you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Any racing is a money pit.
Yeah, really.
What do you got for results over there? Quarter midgets ran.
Hey, quarter midgets ran this past weekend.
That's crazy.
And Phoenixville Raceway.
Now, that's on dirt outside.
Dirt outside, and from what I understand, as I was enjoying 60-degree weather in Nashville, it wasn't 60 here. It was a little chilly here. Maybe even some snowflakes in the air.
Bless them kids.
But, no, big shout-out to these young men and women that are racing down here in Phoenixville. There's a lot of classes here, and unfortunately I can't go through everybody's name here, so I'm just going to take a couple minutes here and just touch upon the winners. And, again, congratulations to all these men and women here. In the junior animal, Brandon Shipley won. Senior novice was Dylan Norris. Senior novice UR was Corey Lawler. Senior Honda number one was Logan Snyder. Senior Honda number two, our good buddy Dylan Swinehart. Stanley's son.
Oh, yeah? He's got the
grandson
the right last
of
name. Mr. Ricochet Ray.
That's the one.
What a good last name.
Yeah. Heavy Honda 2 was won by Samantha King. Junior novice UR was Demetrio Carpani. Seth Spade took the honors in Heavy Honda 1. Junior novice went to Amanda Hayes. Senior animal went to Logan Snyder.
That's two for that Logan.
Who's having a good weekend.
Yeah.
Not bad. Half. I don't know what a half is.
That's a half.
That's half. David Crossman.
Half of a full.
Half of a full. Light 160 went to Dylan Swinehart.
No way.
He also had a pretty good weekend. Light 160 was run by Andrew Laser.
How many times did it take little Swinehart to get through tech?
One time.
Come on now.
Heavy 160 was won by Renee Stover. Heavy 160 number two was run by Kyle Lillick. The name sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yes.
We're familiar with that name. Why? Runs a sportsman at Grandview. This is his last year down there. Junior Honda number two was won by Kevin Holt. Heavy World Formula number one was won by David Crossman. Junior Honda number one was won by Brandon Shipley. Light World Formula, Gary Bozowski. Heavy World Formula number two, again, Kyle Lillick, taking the checkered flag laurels there. And that about wraps that up for those winners. Again, congratulations to those guys. They also have an indoor show coming up December 2nd. That's this Saturday, Harrisburg Farm Show Complex.
Indoor.
Indoor, baby. Get out of the cold. Get out of the snow.
Remember a couple of years ago they were going to try to run 600 micro sprints indoors there? Remember that?
I remember being there when they ran 270 micros there.
I was there. Billy Pouch drove car.
Yes, he was there. That's when his win totals were really huge that year.
Yeah,
he
drove
Berkey's
car, yeah. Oh. Yep. Came in the right front was cherry red brake. Never forget it.
It was good stuff out there.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you don't have anything going on this weekend and amongst Christmas shopping and Christmas tree tracking down and all that kind of good stuff, head on out to the Harrisburg Farm Show Complex and check out these fine young racers in the quarter midget ranks.
The future stars.
Of tomorrow.
That's what they are.
So what else you got cooking?
That's all I got, man.
That's it?
That's it, dude. It's a slow week.
It is a slow week.
I mean, I got Matt Hirschman won down at the Turkey Derby.
Congratulations, Matt.
You know?
What's car count? Hear anything on a car count or anything?
I didn't hear anything like that.
Yeah.
You know? And when did they move the Turkey Derby out in Paris, California to a dirt track? It used to be at Irwindale. And now the midgets run out there and California on dirt.
Was not aware of where the whole setup there.
That's something new. You know?
Got to check into that.
Yes, have to check into that. Coons was out there. Clawson was out there.
All the heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So. Speaking of which, you've heard a lot of racetracks and all that kind of stuff there. I went past a dirt track right outside of Nashville called Cooksville Speedway. It's right off of Route 40. You ever hear of it?
No, I've never been to Nashville. Never been to Tennessee.
Hmm.
I've been all around the state of Tennessee, but never in Tennessee.
Yeah, I have to get some info on that. I never got a chance to research on that.
You could go see your daughter during the summer. And
taking in a race, bro. It's going to be a huge road trip for LD&D.
We're in. Looks like we're going to Nashville.
We're going to Nashville, guys. Just so cool.
Road trip.
Yep. Well,
sponsored by a good friend, Mr. John Willman.
Yes.
Thank you, Johnny. Johnny, take care of that.
You saved some money this year. You didn't ride. You didn't drive the 74W all year. You know. So I mean, you know, you saved a little bit of coin. But I gotta ask you a question. What's it like? Yeah. What's it like to strap into somebody else's car and just sit there and drive out on the track and see your piece sitting on the trailer?
It's a little different, especially when you jump in something you haven't seen, or you know, maybe went up to their garage and looked it over just to make sure it was safe, and you jump in it and off you go. It's a little different heading down the turn the first time. I mean, a couple weeks ago, Grandview had a couple friends of mine ride at Grandview. There's about four sportsman cars. That little kid was up there, and I was just helping out a couple guys, and the little guy came over and said, "Hey, can you take this out?" And I got my stuff with, jumped in the car. I never seen the car before in my life. Jumped out, and around we went, and ended up driving there were six cars, so I ended up driving all six cars that day.
Wow, driver feedback.
Yeah.
Johnny, you've been racing for a long time. Exactly how many years have you been racing?
Let's see. I think the first year I ran one race at the end of the year, or two races at the end of the year at Grandview. I think it was 89. In fact, I think you lettered the car. You were down at Parsons.
And it's a KP Corral.
That the team rushes out.
Yeah, buddy.
There lettering it
old school. Oh, kicking it old school, baby.
Well, nobody knew about vinyl then.
No.
Wow. So what made you decide, okay, I want to go modified racing?
I ran late models for a couple of years, and I didn't like running one time a week, and there was no other place to go with the late model. So I said, well, we're going modified racing. And I got I wanted to go modified racing, but I wasn't real sure, and I got lucky and had a friend of a friend who knew Jack Botten, and Jack was looking for a driver, and he gave me a chance. I went over to New Egypt for him, and we ran the first night and stuffed it in the fence first night in the warm-ups. Set the axle back all up, but then me and my dad fixed the axle, went back out, and I qualified it first night out in the car, and said, hey, maybe this is what we want to do, and ran his car maybe about a half dozen races that year. Then we went out and bought our own car and started racing three nights a week right off the bat.
Wow. So you were like a new Egypt?
That was at East Windsor.
East Windsor.
Yeah.
So you were like East Windsor, Big Diamond.
No. When I ran Jack Botten's car, it was East Windsor. I ran like four or five races for him at East Windsor, and then I ran his car again. I ran it at the Cole Cracker that year and at the Sixer, and then after that we bought our own car, and we ran. That was when the Tri-Track was still running.
Right, the old Tri-Track series.
Diamond Grandview, Penn National, one car, one motor. And
think back on those days, John. How did we do it?
No idea. I mean, early now, the cars are really, really labor-intensive.
Yes.
There's a lot of maintenance on the cars. It wasn't like that before. I mean, the bodies are half the size.
Yeah.
And the motors were a little more bulletproof then, and they were cheaper. And everything was made out of steel on the cars. None of them was lightweight aluminum. You didn't even think of aluminum for 90% of the parts that we have now.
Good point.
And, I mean, as long as all the wheels pointed straight and the motor ran, you just washed it and kind of scaled it and did your general stuff and went going run racing the next night. And you just couldn't do that anymore without a group of about six people helping you.
So you would run Penn National Sunday, Grandview and Saturday, and Diamond Friday? Same motor, same car.
We owned one motor, one car. I had one guy that helped me, and my dad would drive the truck and trailer to the races, and that's when I would sleep. Me and the other guy was driving back and forth to the races, and we had a pretty good deal. Doug Myers built my motors, and I'd Doug would plant it. Doug could build it back in the 358 Ironhead motor days. He had it where he could do three engine overhauls in a week.
Wow.
So we'd schedule it because he knew I only had one motor. He'd schedule only two that week, so he'd get my motor done by like Wednesday.
Nice.
We'd get done running Penn National, and we drained the water out right there in the pits after the race. And by the time we got home, the motor was cool enough. We yanked the motor out, loaded the back of my truck, get 2 hours of sleep, and I'd be sitting at Doug's driveway with the motor in the back of my truck Monday morning. I'd go to work a little late and
that's
the motor off. Wednesday, we'd go back. Wednesday, Thursday, pick the motor up at Doug's, put it back in the car, and go back to Diamond.
Wow.
So we did that. I think the first year we ran, we had, I think we got that motor rebuilt, I think, five times in 1 year because of running three nights a week. So we ran, like, between those and running Delaware, and I went to 5 Mile Point a couple times. My rookie year, we ran, I think it was, like, 70 races.
That's a ton of racing.
Wow.
That is a ton of racing.
We did wreck one car where we ended up buying a used car from Strunk, from Jeff, who was sitting down in the weeds here, down the street here at Touch of Green in their weeds, and I bought that from Jeff. It was a 90 Olson, and we almost won twice for that. Both times we broke lead and went out. So, yeah, it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun then, and I we couldn't do that now.
No way.
Even teams like Dwayne's team, like, you know, Chad's team or, you know, Norm's team, they could do that for a week, but you're not going to do that week after week after week.
It's too draining.
Because the cars are just – I mean, back in the day, you'd wash a car in a half an hour.
Yeah.
You're not going to touch a car. Even if it didn't get fairly dirty, you're not going to touch it even within an hour and a half probably, you know. So it's just a lot more work. And to be competitive, you got to do that work. You know, you just can't wash them. A lot of people think we just wash these cars and roll them off the trailer, wash them, straighten the body out, push them back on the trailer and go racing. And that's not how it works.
It don't work like that, folks.
I mean, you can ask, you know, you could ask Chad about that last week. I mean, when guys do double up cars, basically you come home one night and you unload it and you start washing and you basically work, you might get 2-3 hours of sleep if you're going to run competitive the next night. And you're working all day the next day, so when it goes back on the trailer, it's right and ready to go.
I've been there, done that. I mean, it's working on it. Yeah, it's a crazy deal. I don't know how, like, the outlaw guys do it. I don't know nonstop.
Oh, they get lucky. They have a lot of body pounds.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, just to wash the car alone, I mean, to take it apart is like an hour task.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? I mean, so where did the 74 come from?
When I was, like, about 13 years old, I started racing BMX bikes. And when you get up into the classes, you got to get a license. Like, we got to get our NASCAR license, but you have to get your BMX license. And when you get your license, they assign you a number so you can go to national, so there's no duplicate numbers. And the way they do it, they give you this, like, long 7 or 8-digit number, and you take the last – you have to take the last 2 digits of that number, and then you take the first initial of your last name, and mine happened to be 74W, and it's stuck with me since I was, like, 12 years old.
Okay. There you have it.
Yeah.
You're very competitive in a lot of things. You said you raced BMX.
I'll race anything. I raced BMX. I raced that until I was about 17, and we used to go to nationals.
And obviously the late model and the modified gig you got going on. You stepped into big blocks already. I also know that you race remote control cars.
Yeah, I've been racing them since I was about 12 or so, and that's kind of what got me into the big cars was that stuff. Because I raced remote control cars with Bob Wyman's kids and a couple other guys that ran Grandview and Flemington, and I never really ever went to Grandview or Flemington. I only live 20 minutes away from Grandview and 45 minutes from Flemington, and I never went to the races.
Yeah.
So I raced remote control cars, and everybody, that's what they did Saturday night, that raced remote control cars. And I just started going with to the races, and then Lyman's talked me into going to pits one night, and
that was
all she wrote.
you were ahead of your time. You were networking before networking was networking.
Yeah.
No, that's great. You got involved with all these people, and this is what drew you into the sport. So that's cool.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, I still race remote control cars now. I don't do it all as much as I used to. I mean, back when I was 16, 17 years old, there were enough RC car tracks around. We used to run 6-7 times in a week.
Wow.
And there were times on Tuesday nights we used to be able to pull doubles because we'd run a track that started early and got done because they had no lights. And then we'd drive like up to Ott's, which is now Ozzy's, or Herbines, and now it's Ozzy's. They used to have a dirt track there, and they ran under the lights. They started later, and we used to get 2 races in one night. You know, And you know, so I still race them now during the winter. You know, here and there, it's not as much as I used to, because it costs a lot of money to run them. But you know,
it does
spend all the money to race the big cars. So
yeah. Well, it's my understanding that you are racing currently right now in the division, and for some reason or another, I found out through the grapevine that you're leading points.
Yeah, it's only 2 weeks in though.
Yeah, there's two races in, and you're leading points, and ironically, you keep track of the points too.
Yeah, I help run the race.
Okay.
One of the guys that works for me, he took over running the track that we ran at during the winter about 2 years ago, and I've been helping him run it, and I ended up being the guy that does the points. And yeah, I got a pretty big point lead already after 2 weeks.
Yeah, after 2 weeks.
Won both races, and everybody else didn't run so good, and I got a good lead.
Well, if you don't want to run for the title, just miss a week.
Well, that's what I did last year. Last year, I ran a modified class, you know, where the bodies look just like our modifieds, and I don't know, it wasn't even my car; it was somebody else's car, and I think I won.
Getting hired at.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We were talking about earlier. He races RC cars too, and he's big into it. I mean, big into it.
I wasn't
aware
of that.
20, 30 cars probably, and he's got tons of cars, and he's always bugging me to go with him to the Nationals. And that's the thing, the Nationals, which, as crazy as this sounds, a lot of people aren't going to know this, one of the biggest races in the world, not the country, in the world, there's two of them, and they're both in Harrisburg, and they're both the same weekend in February. There's an off-road race at the Farm Show Complex that gets probably about 800 people. And
wow.
About 20 minutes down the road, there's an indoor dirt track, which is the number one dirt track in the country. It's about 5 minutes from Susquehanna Speedway. And,
no kidding.
The Open Wheel Nationals are there every year, and they get about 550 entries for that. But you got to take you got to put so much time into it to go to the races.
You got to take your best pieces.
Absolutely. And I get sponsored for them. 2 years ago, I kind of put a big effort into it and got some sponsorship, and I drove for a couple guys, and I had ran four of the classes. There's about eight classes, and ran four of the classes, and I didn't own any of the cars.
Wow, that's a good way
Lou
to go.
Lou's bugging me to run for him if I ever want to race. I just call Lou up, and Lou gives me cars, whatever class I want to run, because he knows about three or every class of car they make. And so, yeah. So it's interesting. I keep busy.
Yeah.
And that's fun. Have some fun. And, you know, my brother-in-law races, and he helps me on my car. And now I just got my niece into racing. She started racing where I race at Friday nights. So
that's awesome. Keep it in the family. That's cool.
Many races.
Yeah,
our own
Sammy Allman races.
We're going to have to go check that out.
Definitely.
I have a question for you, back to the small block gig. Are you intimidated, when your heat race, you got, Von Thorn, Howard, the big four guys, Strunk, Howard, Mann, Miller. There's no intimidation, because they really can't be when you're there.
No, I mean, maybe the first year I raced or something, but nah, it's,
now it's just another competitor.
Yeah, it's, and everybody always there, you're excited, you get nervous, and this and that. It's like, it's just another race, guy,
you know.
I mean, you can ask my wife. People on Facebook probably seen pictures. I go on the infield during when we line up on the infield for warm-up.
Right.
I fall asleep every week in the car.
Quit it.
I'm out. I park alongside of Mimi on purpose, because he always goes out in the last warm-up, and I like to go in the last warm-up.
Uh-huh.
And I park close up to him, so when he fires his engine up, it wakes me up.
That's awesome. I gotta look this over time. I gotta check that out. That's funny. I would have never thought that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I'm pretty relaxed.
So you don't even pay attention to the surface or what nobody's doing in hot laps, then, because you're sleeping. That's great. So when you're out for hot laps, so it don't matter though that Kenny comes out and tears up the track after the heat races.
Guys that have been there for a while, it doesn't faze you. You know what's coming. You know, you pretty much know at the beginning of the night what you're going to get, and you keep an eye on what Kenny's doing, and you know what you're going to get. And you get kind of the same track, and one way or another, we end up with the same track in the feature almost every week, and it's a good track.
It's amazing how consistent Grandview is with the surface.
We talk about Diamond. Diamond's got they have a screwed up track surface, especially in the features. And the whole reason, and Finch tells them that every week, and I know Craig's told him, Dwayne's told him, I've told him, they grade the track wrong. They pull the cushion down, which narrows the groove up, and I'm not a track guy. I don't know. You watch Grandview, watch Kenny and Brad, they never pull the track down. But if you watch it every week, for some reason, beyond me why they do it, maybe about two times out of the whole season, they'll pull the track down. And that makes no sense to me, but there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
And we end up still with a good track.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a whole theory to it, you know? And, I mean, I think Diamond's going to be a lot better now because I know Jake running the track, he doesn't agree with the way the track's been prepared the last year, so I think it's going to be better racing. You know, it takes the first 10 laps up there to be able to pass, and the first 10 are ugly because all fast guys, you got to beat and bang because the track's only a car width wide, you know?
Yeah, it makes it tough. It's tough racing there.
The Grammy's always nice and wide, you know, and hopefully Diamond's going to be that way this year too.
Cool. You were talking about in your RC dealings there about Liquid Lou.
Yeah.
That's your coalition with him? Is that why you guys got hooked up and Lou ended up running your car this year for the Sixer?
Yeah, pretty much was remote control cars. We knew each other from that. And, you know, and we had a mutual friend, Dave Lowhead, who he was one of the guys that I drive for when I go to the Nationals. He usually owns enough cars that I'll run for him. And him and Lou are real good friends with the Super Modified. He helped Lou out the last 2 years, and he kind of put the tool, you know, said to me, hey, Lou's looking for something. And they're like, hey, no problem. And, you know, it was a 5-minute deal, and we were ready to go.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So, but Liquid Lou don't get you a Super Modified ride.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I'm supposed to be running his TQ up at Rhode Island for sure.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, really?
We're still talking about maybe if he has an empty seat, maybe running a couple of the other ones, but I'm supposed to run Rhode Island.
Good for you.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, that'll be different.
Is that your first
definitely.
Indoor?
Yeah. I don't think I ran any indoors. I never run TQs. I never ran, like, a micro or nothing like that, so... I ran go-kart a couple times, and that's about it. Ran a slingshot once up in New York at Genesee. And
did you run a slingshot up at Genesee? I know where that's at.
This guy's been everywhere, Whip.
Look, I was even leading the feature, and the clutch blew up on it. We were going pretty
good. That's a slingshot, you know?
I was running a Mike Glass at Races Modified.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was running one of his spare car up there one night during Super Dirt Week. They had a race, and Mike Lundberg got me to come over, and we drove over from the mile over there and ran.
Have you ever ran the mile?
I hot lapped the car about 5 years ago. Tommy Sheets was up there, and I've been going to Syracuse for a long, long time, and I work in the pits helping Jimmy Horton out, and we've come so close to winning there, and I've been spotting for him and crew chief in the car here, and we've come so close, and that's one goal I want to win. I'd like to win a driving, which I know is not going to happen just because of the feasibility of the money, but, you know, one of these years we're going to win that race.
Very intimidating, ain't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, Tommy Sheets, he didn't know anything about Syracuse. They'd only ever been there to watch once, so I helped him out in the pits, kind of telling him giving him some clues on stuff not to do and not to do, and his dad's there, well, why don't you jump in one of the cars and take him out? So I grabbed some stuff I had. And
didn't hesitate on that, did you?
It was pretty cool. Yeah. We only got about, I don't know, I got about 6 laps before the regular tire must have run over something and blew that out on the back straightaway, and that got your attention quick because it's narrow back there.
Yeah.
Turned dead right, and I was facing the wall, but we didn't bend nothing else, so it was interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But it was cool, the 5 laps I got. And
on the mile.
I want to go up there one more. I want to go up there and race myself someday before I retire, you know.
Well, it's a shame because they used to have a Labor Day race. Or, you know, they used to have a fair rate and a July 4th race. Just run 3 times up there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That almost made it easier for guys to justify going up there because they could have a car that they use 3 times a year and they can have it. Now it sits and it's 1 time a year.
Yeah, it's in the back of their garage, you know.
Yeah.
I ran my S10 around it at 3 in the morning.
I got one guy who used to help me out back in the remote control car days, and he still camps with us up there. And he knows when, you know, they used to have the track packers, the parking lot packers up there. He can tell you exactly how many miles he is around that track.
Yeah. I was one of them. Yeah. Who would ever thought you'd hear it over the PA system, spectators, you could bring your car out to the booty mile, packed track.
I was at Healy's Grove one time back around, I don't know, 88 or so. And it poured, and it was there for a 410 race just watching it, and they did that. They pulled them out. I had a brand new S10. I think the thing didn't have 1,000 miles on it. And my girlfriend, then, which is now my wife, Beth, was with me, and I'm there like, oh, let's go. And she's like, you are not taking my brand new
S10. It was an opportunity.
She doesn't put her foot down too often with me, she did there.
What's like, have you ran Sealings Grove? Have you been to the Icebreaker?
Yeah, I ran there last year for the first time.
Yeah, and, I mean, are you a big track, because you ran Penn National, so are you a big track guy, or, you know?
I like the small stuff better, you know. I mean, some big tracks are all right. Sealands Grove is all right. I'm not a fan of Bridgeport, I hate to say. I mean, I think Doug did a hell of a job down there.
Huh.
And I'll tell you, I went down there once this year, and I liked it 100 times better than I've ever liked it before. But the way J.J. Ames had it, I hated the place. I mean, that just was no fun racing. I don't know how guys can say that's fun. You know, I mean, it is for about 5 laps because you're going so fast, but after that, the racing stinks, you know.
Right, because they're spread out.
Right, exactly, you know. But now the way Doug had it, I mean, we were down there, and I was real happy with the way the track was. And when he had rumors talking about going Friday nights, I was definitely thinking about making that my Friday night place instead of Diamond. You know,
wow.
They're about the same go for me either way, and just a change of pace, you know. But so, but I like smaller tracks, you know. I would try, but I can't say it because, I mean, Delaware is one of my favorite tracks. I mean, I always go good there, you know. I always like Penn National, you know. Penn National, I really like that place, you know. So
I always thought Penn National was cool. It was just so flat, you know.
Yeah.
There was no banking, and it was just, yeah. you guys hauled the mail into one.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. I remember the first year I raced there. Toby up there, and he'd be scraping the guardrail with the right rear of the bumper all the way around, him and Pouchy, you know. And one night, we got done with the races, and I'm talking to the crew guy I had with me. I'm like, man, I just don't know how they run up there and this and that. He goes, no. He goes, you know, I said, I'm running the top, but they're still up there. He goes, what do you mean? Go look at your bumper. I go walking around there, and damn it, that thing isn't all ground down. He just didn't even know it. I mean, when you just get out there running around there, and you haul the mail around the outside there, and you just got that bumper grinding the wall all the way through the turn.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That was fun. Penn National. But you got back in, you got it. You never ran Flemington or?
No, the last year they were on dirt, before I ever got a car, before I ever bought my late model or anything, Pouch used to, you know, he had his driving school over there. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to, you know, get into the dirt racing because I didn't know a whole lot about it. And I ended up going to that Metheny benefit that they have every year with the auction.
Yeah.
He used to have an auction. He auctioned off a thing for that school. I went down there, won the auction. I went to school and I got to drive on Flemington on the dirt. And the last year was dirt, and that was really cool. That was my favorite track. When I first started going to the dirt tracks, I went to Grandview a couple times with Lyman's, and I went to Flemington, and I went to Flemington every Saturday night then for almost a year. And that was, you know, an hour drive for me, and where Grandview was 20 minutes, but I just really, really liked Flemington. That was, probably one of my favorite tracks. And I said that too, when I started running late models at Grandview, if Flemington would have still been dirt, I would have never ran Grandview. I would have went to Flemington. You know?
Wow. I liked it. Yeah, Flemington.
And nothing against Grandview. Grandview now, you can't beat the place. You know, I know what's, you know.
You know what you're
going to
get, like
you
said. You know what you're going
to
get.
Grandview's an awesome track. You know, you hear all these people bitching and complaining about the place, but you go to a lot of the guys that are doing the bitching and complaining about Grandview, they don't go to other tracks. They don't see what it's like. You know,
it's true.
That is true.
You get some of these real shitholes up in New York, and it's like you don't know what you don't know how good you got it at Grandview.
There's some cornfields up there.
I'm from New York. There's some shit fields.
Yeah.
And
I'm not throwing no tracks under the brush, but there is some. There's some. They ain't nothing like what we got down here.
Yeah. And you can't beat, you know, all the Rodgers, Kenny, Bruce, Teresa, mm-hmm. you know, Tina, Brad, any of them. And they take really good care of their drivers. I mean, there's a lot of things the fans don't see that they do. You go up there and you ask them, you need help with something, and they're right there. I mean, sponsor, you know, you tell them you got a sponsor, they bend over backwards, do whatever they got to for you, because they know they need you to have them sponsors, you know.
The way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's other tracks that won't do that. There are tracks, they'll look at you like, what are you talking about? You know,
right.
I mean, they just don't get it, a lot of them, you know. Diamond does to a point, and I think Jake really gets it, and I think he's going to be a good thing for up there. You know, Fritz is a nice guy, but he's way too old school. You know, I think Diamond's going to do good with Jake because I think he gets it. He sees what Grammy does, and he knows he's got enough people now in his ear telling him this is the way you got to do it.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of guys there's a lot of tracks there. Whoever runs the track, they should come and spend a night at Grammy, following them guys around and see how a real place is supposed to be run. Which Doug's running it the right way down there. He's, you know, same thing. He's one guy I don't think needs the help. He knows what he's got to do, and he's doing it. Just going to take a little while because he's got so much bad history.
Well, Bridgeport's got a bad past, you know, they got a bad rap. But speaking of sponsors now, leading into this, you got some big news coming up here.
Yeah, we just signed a new sponsor last week, Direct Core and Auto Parts. They're in Norristown. They buy used auto parts, and they sell them either to the remanufacturers, or if they're not a good core, then they sell them off for scrap. So, I mean, anybody can call them, any garage. I mean, that's mainly what they deal with is, You know, you call them up, they can come out and bring a bin for you. They stack all your used parts in them. When it's full, you call them up, they come pick it up, they sort it out. And what they can sell off the cores, they sell. What they can't, they put in for scrap. They pay you the price of the scrap metal, and they cut you a check and
really
in your pocket.
Wow! So like all these garages around, local garages.
Yes. Yep.
These guys need to get a hold of them.
Right. Yeah. I got hooked up with them to a mutual friend of ours. I have a lot of guys, Jason Dury. He ended up getting a job in there, and me and him were talking one day, and I said, you know, I asked him what he was doing, and he told me about the company. I'm like, man, that place is like an ideal place. They got to be sponsoring a race car. I mean, that's like a no-brainer for them. I mean, it's hitting the exact people they need all the time, every night, everybody there. You know what I mean? 90% of the people there, you have either have they're your car person if you're going to the track for the most
Absolutely.
Part.
Absolutely.
No, and so it was a no-brainer. And I got talking. He set up a meeting with me with the owner, and then, man, I bet it was no more than a half an hour meeting, and it was a done deal like that. You know, he seen what I was showing him, and he said, right, you're right, it's a no-brainer.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Welcome on board, Direct Core.
Yeah, you know, because you have to sell yourself.
You do.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the way it is. Now you just can't go beating on doors. You got to sell yourself to these companies.
Right. Yeah, it takes a lot of time to track down one sponsor for just not a lot of money even, and you got to put a lot of time, a lot of effort into it, you know. And this one just worked out really good. It was an easy one, and you don't get many of them. And this one was a simple one, and you know, it's for good money, and you know, it's going to be a good deal.
I'll tell you why this works, honestly, and where John was very lucky with this deal, and where most racers missed the boat on this. When it comes to sponsorship, you got to ask yourself, what are they going to gain from it? They, as a sponsor knows, I give you X amount of dollars, you're going to go have fun on a Friday and Saturday night. They're going to get to see my name. Bottom line is, what are you going to do for me? That's what a potential sponsor wants to know. And like John said, this was a match made in heaven, because we as racers need Direct Core. Get rid of our stuff, it all works out. So keep that in mind, people out there. When you're going for a sponsor, ask that question to yourself. What's in it for me? Put yourself into the prospective sponsor's shoes and see what you can do for them. It's not a matter of just, hey, I get to see my name on the side of a race car. It doesn't work like that anymore. No.
Yeah, right. There's still some of them. I've got one guy like that. He doesn't care. He just wants the name on
just
there.
Just wants to see his name
on there. And when you get them, that's great, you know, but you don't get a lot of them.
Yeah. There's few and far between.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's one good thing I can say. 95% of my sponsors, I've had them, and I've had them for a long time. And they keep coming back, you know. I had a bad deal with one a couple years ago, and I got taken advantage of on there. And, you know, it was a different deal where I got paid on what business I brought into them, because we had a way of tracking it.
Right.
And they hosed me on it.
Didn't work out for you.
Yeah. And I know for a fact they hosed me on it, and because I know people that got stuff done there, and they wouldn't give me the credit for it, saying that wasn't how it was, you know. So
that sucks.
You know, so I dropped them. I let it go, and nobody asked any questions of what happened to them, and I didn't say, because I'm not going to badmouth them, and I'm not going to mention their name, you know. And
right.
But all the other sponsors I've had them a long time. I mean, I've got some sponsors in that car I've had for 15 years, you know.
Yeah, that's another thing, dude. You've had a lot of sponsors for a lot of years, like you said, and let's talk about your crew chief. This person does an amazing job with you and has been with you for a long time.
Yeah.
Who is your crew chief?
I guess you must be talking about my wife.
That's exactly right.
every race team got to have a good one.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and she's definitely a good one. I mean, heck, she gave me that first car. You let her to mine that late model. The down money to buy that came right out of her pocket. And heck, we'd only been dating for, you know, 2 years.
You knew that was a keeper.
Yeah,
right,
that was
a keeper.
Yep. I got to marry this woman. Now, Beth,
I'm marrying you.
I love Beth. She's an absolute sweetheart. And she's not afraid to get dirty. She's right there. She's a huge supporter of you. And it's you'd be lost without her, to be honest with you. I'm giving her props.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of nights I go to the races, but it's only me and her, you know. And
I've seen that.
You know, and she comes down in the garage and helps me, and I mean, she helps me pull motors in and out. I mean, there's a lot of stuff she can do, and what she can't do, or she doesn't want to do, she can tell somebody exactly how it's supposed to be done. Or
we call that delegating authority.
That ain't how you pack bearings, boy.
Yeah. And I've had problems with some crew guys on that. I've gotten some new crew guys, and they just couldn't handle that because they were guys and they were learning. And, you know, I'd explain to them how to do something, and they'd be helping in the garage, and they'd be doing it, and she'd be walking by, and she'd go, oh, no, that's not quite right. You want to do it this way. And they did not like
that.
Like
that,
huh? Like I said, I had issues with a couple guys back in the day about that, you know. And, I mean, she can probably tell you how to – she couldn't tell you exactly all the settings to assemble a rear from scratch, but I bet you she could tell you the order it goes together. Cause
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You know, she mounts tires if she has to. And, you know, my niece started helping out in the car. She's going to turn 21 in a couple of days. She's been helping out a couple of years, and – My wife's sister, she started getting into it now in the last year or two, and she comes down, she'll dismount tires for me during the week and straighten out the panel game. So, yeah.
Hey, let's hear it for the ladies. Good
yeah,
to
let's
awesome.
Hear it for the ladies,
man.
That's
so cool.
I don't know, it was a few years ago, we went to the Coal Cracker, and my brother-in-law was away racing at a big RC car race, and I think my pit crew was three women. It was my wife, her sister, and my niece.
Wow, that's cool.
That is so
I
cool.
like that.
Yeah, where did the underdog come from?
Mark Garmin.
Mark Garmin. Baby.
One night up at Diamond, he said something about. Well, really, I shouldn't say it. Ernie started said about underdog once or twice. The underdog. He's an underdog. And then the following week, my wife said, "You know, I think Garmin said something about ultimate underdog or something." And I'm like, "Oh yeah." Well, and then the next night, go to Grandview, and somebody comes up, "Hey, it's the ultimate underdog," and it just kind of stuck, and that's back from, I guess, the first year Buddy Beaver had the track when Mark was announcing up there. And between, you know, Ernie started with the underdog, and Mark just took it a little farther and put the ultimate underdog on there, and now it's just kind of stuck. It's on all the cars, and, you know, so.
That's awesome. Well, I tell you what, we have a caller on the line right now. Let's take this caller in here. I have no idea who we're talking
to. See how
to,
this goes.
I wasn't told who I was talking to.
Are we going
to
crash?
Good evening, and welcome to Low Down and Dirty.
Good evening, Mr. Joe.
How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Who am I speaking to?
Joey, come on. You have to know who you're talking to.
It's the Benner.
Oh, no. It's the Minister of Misinformation, Mr. Ben Moyer.
That is good.
That's good. Sorry, Ben. That's a good one.
Love you, brother. What do you have for
you.
Tonight, Ben?
Well, you know what? As I was listening to the show, I was listening. Nobody brought up the Ultimate Underdog, which I think these nicknames are like pretty cool. And as I call, you guys asked John about the Ultimate Underdog.
See, Ben, that's Whippy being Whippy.
There you have it, right there.
Don't
he's a mind reader. Reading your mind there, Ben.
That's right. Well, Ben, seriously, we appreciate you listening in. And how was your Thanksgiving, my friend?
Great. How was yours?
Mine was awesome.
Can't you hear his Nashville accent?
Yeah, I got me a little accent now, you know, because I was just, you know, hanging out in Nashville a little bit there, you know.
And he's seen Elton.
You get down to Dollywood too, Joey, or what?
No, I did not go to Dollywood. That's actually on the eastern side of Tennessee. I was pretty much smack in the middle of the state there.
The other side of the Peaks.
Yes. But we had a blast. I got to see my daughter and hang out with her for 4 or 5 days and never turned that opportunity down. So I always look forward to that. And she's actually flying in for Christmas, too, for a few days. So very much looking forward to that as well.
You mean she wants to spend some time with you?
Believe it or not, yeah. It's kind of amazing.
I mean, other than the people that already did the show from in with you, it's hard to believe all these people want to spend time with you.
It is kind of crazy. It cost me a lot of money to pay these people off to act like they like me.
People always want to
get John. John, did you get any hand signals tonight or anything from Joe?
Just one, but it was a finger, but it wasn't the middle one this time.
Really?
The middle one's coming later.
No, Ben, I thought you'd be sleeping from being out plowing the road all night.
Actually, I'm a trooper, buddy. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm actually still wide awake because I think this is the most entertaining. This is the most entertaining hour in my week listening to Joe and Whoopi. So,
well,
either that or I don't have a wife. One or the other.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
I'm going to go with the not
Ben,
having a life thing.
Get a life.
Yeah, it's.
Hey, but Ben, it is what it is, man.
Yeah.
That's right, Webb. At least someone's sticking up for me.
It is what it is, but it ain't what it used to be.
Brother.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys take care. We'll be when you get out of that Joe Adams lettering shop tonight. Make sure you go say hi to your girlfriend.
Oh, I always do a drive-by.
Does a drive-by every week, brother. That is no lie.
Yep.
He does a little conjugal visit.
Hey, between Ben and John here, you know it's only 19 weeks before Grandview opens.
Your man.
There you have it.
When you start getting the official hour meter countdown, Whippy, we know we're in good shape.
Yeah, then we're getting close.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm excited for it. It can't get here fast enough.
Just make sure you tell your co-host there, Whip, what the countdown is every week, because I'm still waiting on a design for a race car from him.
Yeah. Well, I got six of my best men on that right now.
Yeah. They're beating the doors down here, Ben. They're beating the door dials. John's going to bring panels in tomorrow.
I think we're breaking up, aren't we?
We have a big connection.
It's all about that four-play car, I guess.
right now it is. But we will definitely get you taken care of as soon as humanly possible, Mr. Ben. There's no question about that.
All right. Hey, you guys sound good again tonight.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for calling in, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your evening, and please stay tuned.
See you, buddy.
Take care, Ben.
Take care, Big Ben.
See you, Ben.
Yeah.
See you, John.
Hey, you've always had a yellow car, pretty much, that I can remember.
Pretty much blue and
blue
yellow.
Blue and yellow is pretty much the sequence colors for you. Is there just you?
Yeah, just, I don't know. I don't really know where that ever came from, but I just always had blue and yellow.
It's always a good color combo. It always works. It's just a nice, clean look.
I guess the second year, I mean, last year I ran late models, the first year I ran modifieds, I had Freightliner as a sponsor, and those cars were red, white, and black, you know, all Freightliner colors. Then we went to an all-red car, and then we were just kind of jumping around a little bit there, white and red and black, because I had Freightliner and this and that. And once I got, we didn't have them anymore, then I went to blue, and it's kind of been blue and yellow ever since.
Yeah, it's been blue. Now, you had a Freightliner. Was that the same time when Hearns and Danny were running too?
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, the cars kind of looked the same. My driver's suit was identical to the one Brett had.
Oh, yeah?
And funniest thing was that was my rookie year modifieds, and that was the year Hearn drove for Frank Rio at Penn National.
Oh, yeah, in the R10.
Yeah, and we showed Penn National opening day, and I roll that thing out of the trailer, and I'm walking to the driver's meeting in my Freightliner suit, and Brett's standing there with two of his crew guys, and they're looking at me, and they had to take about a triple take. And I took the whole thing, you know?
Showed up at the dance with the same dress, huh?
Yeah.
You know?
That's fun. That's a good story. I like that.
That was funny. And then I guess once they seen her come out on the track, they were probably all just shaking their head because it took a lot of work. So.
That's cool.
That's good. Yeah. I remember when Brett ran at our time.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good story. I like that one.
Yeah.
You know? Well. So what's up for this year, for 2013? We're gonna have a new sponsor.
Well, we got a new sponsor. We're definitely gonna be at Grandview. I just sold off one of my chassis. My older chassis sold out to Katie McCardle.
Okay.
So I only have one complete car right now. I got enough parts to build about two more cars. But we're trying to come up with a little more sponsorship money to do things the right way. Right now, I got enough money to get one new car or get one motor fixed. So I'm not sure which way we're going. We're working on a couple other little sponsors. I can get one or two of them to come through. We should be in good shape. And I get another chassis together and get another motor together, and then we'll be running Grandview and Big Diamond. And I'm sure we're going to run Diamond pretty much this year. It's just I got to get a couple more things tied up before I commit to running there, you know, pretty much the whole season. But Grandview's a lock. I mean, it's a tough, like I said, I mean, there's no better place to really race. It's 15 minutes from home. It's on a Saturday night.
Money's good.
Money's good. And you come with an open trailer. That's the best. You come with an open trailer. And how many open trailers you see in the pits at Grandview anymore?
There's not many. There aren't even many late models coming in anymore.
No, it's true.
I think that's class.
No. Meister's. Meister's used it.
Yeah, he has one now, too. He has a closed trailer now, too.
Oh, that's right. He does. Yeah.
There up at Grandview, the first three spots there at the top of the hill there, they're supposed to be for open trailers. Most of the time, they don't even know, they can't even find a third trailer to fill the other spot.
One's my landlord and the sportsman, Reniger.
Yeah.
That's my landlord.
Yeah, he was talking there a little bit, and then he missed a couple weeks, but for the most part, there's always an empty spot. spot there. In fact, there for a while when I was bringing my spare car, I was parking them both on the front row side by side, you know.
Yeah.
There was nothing else they could pull in there. They needed another open trailer, you know.
So, see, if you get an open, you don't get, if you get keep the open trailer, you're closest to the pay window, man.
Yep, that's very good.
See, there's an advantage here.
The biggest advantage to that deal of being where I am, when it starts raining, you get in your truck, you got everything loaded. Now, you get a little wet load in the car, but then you sit in there, and as soon as they say it's canceled, usually you'll see Tina poke her head out, and she knows it's canceled, and you hear the mic key up. Man, I just put her in drive, and I drive right I'm out on freaking 100 before anybody else
even that's
in
awesome.
Their truck, trailer, or in their all, you know, so we're gone.
They're still stuck in the infield.
I mean, you get down there now, they're in, like Norm. You ever see Norm leave at the end of that? Man, that's what's going on. He pulls forward, drives out on the racetrack, turns around down the infield, comes back up the track backwards, and out the road he goes. Man, I drop it in gear, and I'm gone.
That's cool.
Do we have another caller?
We have another caller.
We got two callers in one night.
Two callers in one night. This is Major. Hello and welcome to Lowdown and Dirty.
What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's happening? Who am I speaking to?
It's Jay, your alpaca buddy.
Hey,
really?
Jason Durr.
Hey,
from
Jay.
The old alpaca farm. What's happening, Jay?
Not much. What's going on over there?
You know, we're just doing this little radio thing, you know, Tuesday night, live.
This is the gentleman that hooked John up with the sponsorship.
This is the gentleman that Jason Durr works for, Direct Core Auto Parts.
Cool.
And Jason and his boss, Jason, were talking one day, and there, you know, Jason, the boss, said, hey, you know, I need to do some marketing. And Jason Durr said, hey, I got the perfect opportunity for you, and hooked him up with John Willman and also Wayne File, the late model. Direct Core is also going to be on the late model this year as well for 2013. So, We thank you so much for getting this going, and I'm certainly sure John thanks you pretty much as well.
We need more fans like Jason out there.
Yes, we do.
Talking to your employers and saying, hey, you should be getting involved with auto racing and sponsoring the car and getting involved with Grandview Speedway and so on.
You did good, Jay.
I wanted to give John a big congratulations on his deal, and I wish him the best of
luck.
Oh,
thanks so much.
Jason's a good guy.
Yeah.
I think you guys will get together well.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's gonna be a great deal. We're gonna have a good year, and I think Wayne's gonna have a good deal with his car under Dave there, and they're gonna have a good deal. It's gonna help them out a lot. They were really competitive there the last three quarters of the season last year, and I think they're gonna be really, really good this year.
Yep, I also want to congratulate them too, Wayne Flyle and Crazy and all their gang too. Not sure that they're listening, but you know.
That's cool that a sponsorship comes in and not sponsors just one car, but they're going to put their name on two cars in two different divisions.
Yeah, it's a home run. It really is.
Yeah, so they're getting double exposure every Saturday night. And how can you go wrong with that?
Right. Yep. It's going to be a good deal. They're going to, you know, we're going to do some program book advertising. Me and Wayne Bloner, they're crazy. Everybody calls him crazy.
Everybody calls him crazy.
Everybody that's listening is going to know crazy. We start saying Dave. So me and Joe were coming out there, say about Dave, and they're going to be, who's Dave?
Yeah.
I moved probably 10 years before I knew his real name. You know, and there's probably like a lot of people that don't. So, you know, Dave Crazy's a good guy, and Wayne and his dad are good guys. And,
yeah, they're great people.
It's going to work out really good for him. I mean, I think Direct Core, they're hooked up with two good teams, you know, as far as not going to be causing problems. You're not going to have guys guys up there fighting and carrying on.
Right.
And all kinds of craziness, you know. And,
Now, to clarify, John, you guys aren't technically teammates, correct?
Technically, we're not a team.
You're just sharing a common sponsor.
Sharing a sponsor, and we're going to try and work together a little bit on the promotion part of it to try and, you know, save up the money and, you know, that we can put more money in the car. Because, I mean, you got to touch the market. You get the sponsorship money, that's the other thing you got to think of, too. You got to spend some of that money to help sponsor out. You just don't put that all in your pocket either, you know?
Right.
So you got to keep them happy, and you know we're going to kind of work together on that, and hopefully do a real good job for Direct Core.
Is there a trip to motorsports maybe?
Up until a couple days ago, yeah, we were planning on it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Reading Mall.
Yeah, we're going to be at the Reading Mall, and if Coventry does something, we'll be there, and maybe Big Diamonds Car Show, depending on how date it falls on. I mean, last year Diamonds and. The one down here in Hot Pond, Coventry Ball, fell in the same time.
Right.
But, you know, and I mean, the other year I had three car, I had three cars in two different shows all in the same week on the one time, and I'm not going down that road.
No, that's a little insane.
And then the final, we had two in one show and one in another show, and we're just not going down that road again. That was a lot of work, and you know, I mean, it was good for the sponsors, but you know, it's just tough to do, you know, and. But yeah, we were gonna do something for motorsports, but it's just not looking like that right at the moment. The one chassis I have, it's just gonna take there's a lot more work to be done to make that car show ready, and we're just not gonna spend the time to do that, you know. So if I'm gonna take something to the car show, it's gonna look good. It's not gonna
right.
be some piece of crap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. But so yeah, it sounds like Nick Nell, they're backed up because they're having such a big year last year. And
well, and Chad bought three cars.
Yeah. I was pretty tight there with Randy and then with Nick Nell, and as soon as Chad ordered them cars, that just moved me back 2 weeks.
Way now.
I got to help Finchy out because it really probably wasn't when Finchy bitching to him. We don't want to hear Finchy crying.
Crying like a baby.
Oh, man.
Poor Finchy.
Poor Finchy.
That's going to get back to you. I started calling Finchy Smiley whenever I talked to Chad, and now Chad refers to him as Smiley also, so it works out pretty well. We love you, Finchy. You're still the man. I don't care what anybody says.
Just don't touch his car.
Yeah, just don't touch his car. He gets a little bit down about that. Hey, Jason, while we still have you on the line here, you know, John's
about
going to some of these car shows and things like that. Do you know off the top of your head if Wayne is planning on attending any of these car shows coming up?
As far as I know, Crazy is planning on doing the Reading Fairgrounds.
Cool.
And if they do have one at Coventry, I guess they're planning on that.
Super.
I don't know the whole deal on Coventry yet. You have to talk to Greg Hoffmaster's kid. That would be Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is who usually puts that whole deal together. So, yeah, I'm not sure about that yet. I heard a few stories that it could or could not be going on this year, but I don't know.
Well, hey, we'll have to get Scotty Hoffmaster on the line sometime and try to get the scam and see what's going on there. And hopefully that show is still going on. It seemed like a very popular show with a lot of local racers.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see it back. So hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to see it die off. I mean, I know Scott was really depressed with the car count there last year compared to what he had the years before that.
Oh.
You know, I thought the show went off really good last year.
Yeah.
And then he was a little late on cars. But I think it was just one of them years a lot of people didn't hit right for him.
A lot of people were extremely late last year. I know that just from my
you
job
should
here.
You know that from a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of guys are just really, really far behind. And I've stressed this before. Our off season has gotten so small.
Absolutely.
It is the time restraints are so crazy. And it starts with, like you said, at the chassis manufacturers. They're bending tubing. They're welding. They're working as fast as they can. And if they get behind a little bit, then the body guy can't put the body on. Then it can't go get plumbed and wired and the motor dropped in and everything put together. And then it can't get to the lettering guy. And it's like a ripple in the pond. And everybody's affected. So, but that's awesome, Jason. I appreciate the info. Hopefully we can get some info from Scotty Hoffmaster on that deal. And we'll definitely try to help him promote his show right here on our show and get some more cars into the Coventry Mall. Because we certainly wouldn't want to see that show die off there. It's nice exposure locally. Especially for somebody like Direct Core Auto Parts. Direct Core is only right down in Norristown. The Coventry Mall is only a few miles away, and that's definitely within their region.
Right, no, that's for sure. I really hope Scott can put something together and gives it another shot. You know, like I said, I think it's going to be a lot better supported, and you know, he's got to get some people beating it out for him and help him get cars.
Well, we will definitely put our best foot forward and try to make things happen.
I got experience in mall shows, man. My dad did them in the 80s up in New York.
Right.
You know,
I want to let John know that I have some handouts for him that I'm going to be dropping off at his work for him that my boss made up, things that he can hand out to the people so they know what exactly we do.
Awesome.
At the business and stuff.
It's a great idea, Jason.
That's a great idea.
And we really appreciate you coming to bat for John and Wayne and getting this done. And for those of you listening out there, Direct Core Auto Parts is located in Norristown. They can be reached at 610-277-2101. They can also be faxed at 610-277-2101. 3670. Their hours are Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 3:30, and Friday, 7 a.m. to 3:30 as well. Sorry about that. And Saturday and Sunday, they are closed. So check out Direct Core Auto Parts. And I know that they do have a Facebook page. It is Direct Core Auto Parts. Send them a friend request. You know, get to know
them. I'm all over that.
Yeah. Get to know them. They're good people. And I certainly, from my business, I welcome aboard as a customer as well. So thank you, Direct Auto Parts, for everything you did. Jason, we're going to take a short break right now, so we appreciate you calling in. And thank you so much for passing that info along. And you will see Mr. Willman here in the next day or two with some handouts for your boss and Direct Core. And Johnny will get that thing rolling for you. So thanks a lot for calling in, Jason. Hope you have a good night, my friend.
Yep, you too. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, we're going to take a short break here and take a cool-down lap. And we'll be right back with John Willman and see what he's got cooking for the rest of the season here. All right. All right, guys, welcome back to the show.
John's still in the building.
John is still in the house, yo.
He didn't run away.
No, it's getting close, though. I only gave him a couple hand gestures and a couple of notes, but he's holding up pretty good so far. So I think we're good. John has been talking about his sponsors that he has going on for this year and his newest sponsor, DirectCore Auto Parts. And what other kind of sponsors you have on the car? You have some others to list?
Yeah, I've got Hampton Brothers Truck Repair in Pottstown. They've been with me since about 2002. They've been helping. They're always a great help to me. Race Place Hobbies over in Quakertown. I've had them probably since the mid-90s. They've had two owners at the place, and they just belong with me.
What is a race place at Quakertown?
Race Place is a hobby shop over in Quakertown's Farmer's Market, mm-hmm. over at the Q-Mart. They sell slot cars.
Is that the place with the slot car track?
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah. I support that.
Yeah,
I do.
The owner, Jim McNabb, in fact, there's a funny deal. I mean, it was the original guy named Tom Hall, and they used to race in the Farmer's Market on Saturday mornings, a car indoor track during the winter, and that's one day I seen a ad in the newspaper out of Okeechobee car races. I was like 12 years old, went down there, looked down, and they're like, I got to do this.
Yeah.
I got in there and got hooked on that, and Tom, he sponsored Bob Lyman for a lot of years, and then Bob got out of racing, and I started racing, and then Tom started helping me out for a couple years, and then a guy that we raced with, a guy named Jim McNabb, Tom wanted to get out, and Jim bought him out, and Jim McNabb's had it now for it's got to be probably 12 years or so.
It's been a while. Jim is an avid slot car racer.
He's a big slot car racer, and he used to race remote control cars with us quite a bit, and he kind of continued on sponsoring me and helping me out, and he's been a really great guy, and anytime I ask him for something, he's always been right there for me. And
good guy.
Free RC car parts. I keep racing for something to do during the winter, and some sponsorship money. He's been a big help, you know. And he's a huge Kenny Brightbill fan, and so from back at the fairgrounds, he used to follow Kenny all around back in the day.
He's seen it all.
He's seen it all. So he knows what it's all about, you know. And I got another guy that I race remote control cars with, Ryan Strausser Contracting up in Hamburg. He's been with me for probably about 6 years now.
What kind of contracting does Brian do?
Build you a house, put a fence up in your house, anything you want him to do.
So from an addition to a full house, he got you covered.
He can cover you. Yeah.
Going up.
We're going up. We need another floor on here.
Yeah. Studio B.
He built an additional to our house and put up my garage that I'm in now. Because there for a lot of years, I didn't have my own garage. I kept cars at Hampton Brothers for a few years. And then they got big and it's more safe. And then I moved up to a shared space with Finch for a while up there at the BRB shop back when Buddy Beaver had his stuff up in Birdsboro. And that was like a mile from my house. So me, Ryan Watt, and Finch were there for a little bit together. And then it was just me and Ryan and Carol Hines. And I had the Saraceno cars in there for a while. We had a ton of cars in that building.
I remember that facility. That building was awesome.
Yeah.
Had the dyno room in the back. Tons of room. I remember... I never forget, I had my daughter up there. We had stopped by. We were doing some stuff for BPG. And Strunky came in with a load of wash. And, there's a washer and dryer right there in the shop, right? So he starts doing his laundry and everything. And my daughter's like, Dad, Jeff's doing his laundry here at the race shop. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
back in the day, it was when Jeff was driving for Chad there the year they were together with Finch. Jeff was a... would stay there most of the summer in a camper right there at the shop. There was a shower in there. There was a washer and a dryer. And then Mickey, the one guy that was a long-time Buddy Beaver crew member, they had an apartment. He lived there year-round for probably 10, 15 years.
Right upstairs.
And then they had a dyno there, and Carol Hines did all his motor dyno in there. You could build a complete car, including the motor, right in that shop. You did not have to leave that shop for anything but to buy your tires and wheels.
Yes.
Everything else,
shop had everything. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
And now it just sits empty?
My uncle bought it. My uncle bought the shop. It's now a car repair shop, Gene Willman's Auto Repair. He's another sponsor on my car. He bought the shop from Buddy Beaver about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess, about. Most of the shop equipment went up to up to BFP, up to Jason Bayshore.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Fender and all that stuff went from that shop up there. Jason bought all that stuff from Buddy when he went into business. And so everything kind of gets moved around and here and there.
It's all circle. Everything's a circle.
It is.
Everybody and everything's all tied together in this area.
That's right. So how do you like the tire dealer, Graham? Were you fortunate enough to get one of those free tires at all this year?
Not this year.
No.
The year before that, I got one, and I think the year before that, I got one. I think I won a Grammy and won a Diamond. Now it's getting tough. The first year they did that, I think there was only about eight of us that bought into that.
Uh-huh.
This year there had to be at least 20. There were a lot of guys. When they started throwing, it was a long – when Tina yelled over the PA system, called all the car numbers to come up and draw, and the first year they did that, it was, probably took her about a minute to – about 30 seconds to call out all the numbers. Now it's like about a 2-minute long thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's got there's a bunch of guys in that now, you know?
And you all have to go up there? You all have to be present?
You have to have somebody to go up there to draw for you. You have to have the car signed in that night, and you have to go up and draw. And they'll tell you what number they're looking for, and you reach in there and pull out a ping pong ball, and if you got the number, you got the part. That's a good deal American Racer does. I mean, that's a lot of money for, you know, those guys that finish up front. But even if you're a guy that doesn't qualify every week, it's worth $50 to put in there and have a chance of winning a $170 tire.
Heck yeah.
You know, I don't remember exactly how many tires they give away a year, but it's like, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 tires a year they do that. So, I mean, you got a good chance of, I mean, we're racers. We've pissed a lot more money than $50.
Oh, $50,
hell. A lot of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, it's a no-brainer to do that. I mean, like I said, even it doesn't matter who you are up there. Check, it's worth it to spend the $50 to get into the American Racer Cup.
Uh-huh.
You know, so
I think it's a great series. I mean, are you someone who likes? Now, this is just I asked all the guys. Are you a right? You know, you like the car leaning over on the right front, or are you like, you know, the one on the left rear digging?
Nah, I wanted to go down the straightaway on the right front. I wanted to drive through the pits on the right front. I wanted to go on the right front.
Everything on the right front.
But, you know, I mean, that's how some guys are. You know, some guys want to be thrown out the window.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Some guys want that nose pointed down and head towards the guardrail.
Yep, yeah. I want to roll up on that right front, keep putting air pressure in that right rear shot, left rear shot, get her up on that right front.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for sure.
You set your own cars up, obviously, correct?
Yeah,
and
yes.
You actually help a lot of other racers out, too, with your knowledge. I mean, you've been in the sport for a long time, as we said before, and I know a lot of people turn to you. You're a very popular guy in the sport. You're very likable. Everybody has good things to say about you.
At least not to my face.
No. You want to hear what we say about you when you leave here tonight. It ain't going to be good.
Exactly. There a couple years ago, I was in business a little bit on the side, selling parts and fabbing stuff, and I just got it just got to be too much because it was a constant line of people at my shop, to tell you the truth, and I liked helping them, but it was just starting to take away from my own racing, and that kind of showed this past year and a half. I'm just kind of starting to get out of that, and you know, it just got to be too much. I mean, I'd have guys dropping cars off the shop. I was even getting on late model guys, and I was
front clip
late models because there was nobody really in the area to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I put a front clip on two late models. I did one rear clip on a late model. I put a few front clips on modifieds. I still do it when guys call me. If I know I'm going to have time and they got nothing else going on that week, I'll do it here and there. But it just got to be too much, guys picking up parts and this and that. And, you know, it's just a lot of work. But I still get a lot of guys calling me, asking me, you know, what I'm doing for this or that, you know, trying to help them out with some chassis setups or they're having motor problems or this and that. You know, I mean, I get a lot of guys coming to the trailer during the year, you know, during the night, asking a lot of questions, and I try to help them out.
What's that like for you the first time somebody comes up to you and says, hey, John, I need your help? Do you stand here and scratch your head and go, is this for real or why me or what's going on here?
Kind of weird when that first started because, I mean, even at that point, I mean, when that first started, that was maybe around like 2002, 2003, when people really started coming to ask me, and I still wasn't, I didn't think I was running that good, you know, but then I look back on it, and I'm like, well, yeah, I am running good. I'm running a bunch of junk here, and I'm qualifying every night, you know, because I didn't really have that good equipment at that time, and, you know, I got a little better equipment, a little more backing, and we ran better and better and better, and, you know, and I guess, too, I mean, at that time, I guess the people that were coming up for asking me were seeing me out, you know, out helping Jimmy Horton on and I was going around with Finch then helping out crewing the car on all their mid
shows.
Had
to run off
when Jeff, you know, when Jeff was driving for him, and they figured, well, Finch is letting this guy help him out. He must know at least a little something.
Finch
and,
is letting him touch the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know. We all know how Finch is the car. You know, it's not like I'm, you know, Finch is still the man. He knows way more than I'll ever know or ever, you know, hope to know, you know, and that's just the way it is. And I keep on working away and see what I can do, and I try and help out anybody I can, because, I mean, that was one thing I always some of it was my own fault when I did started racing. I didn't ask enough questions. I always wanted to do everything myself. That's always the way I've been, and that hurt me a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, in my progression of getting better, I probably held myself back because I'm not asking for enough help, you know. So there's a lot of times I'll walk up and offer to help guys. I see them out there struggling and just watch them go around the track a couple laps, and I know that they're having issues.
Right. I mean, you can see what's going on.
Why are you doing this, you know? And this is, you know, you don't want to do that this way, and, you know. And there's another thing. Like, Larry Lombardo has been my motor builder since, like, I don't know, 1999. And he's at the races 99% of the time. But when he's not at the races, he basically tells all his guys, if you have a problem and you can't get me on the phone, go find Wilman.
Nice.
He tells everybody, you know? I mean, there's nights I get paged. I mean, like, Ryan Grimm paged me to his car. The one night Larry was running late and he was having problems after warrants. I'm going to look at it a little bit. You know, I've gone down and helped Mimi out when they've had problems. Albert, you know, this and that. And,
that's awesome. You know. It says a lot about your character. Realistically,
yes,
it does.
I mean, that's a great little trait to have. That tells your competitors respect you.
Right. You know. Absolutely. I like that. You know, I can tell that too. I mean, I can pretty much walk in anybody's trailer there at the track and ask for anything, and they have it in their trailer, they wouldn't hand it to me, and no questions asked, and they know they're going to get it back or get a new one back or whatever, you know. I mean, it's funny that a lot of people, they look at me a little weird all the time. I mean, I walk down into Finch's, down Chad's trailer like I own it some nights. I just walk in, I don't know where the fuck is most of the time, and I just go in the trailer, take it as I'm walking out. I tell, hey, I'm taking this. And,
right.
That's cool.
And now that Chad and Dwayne and Finchy went to Bicknell's, you know, you guys can pretty much, you know, just wing it now, because now Bicknell, and you have Bicknell's. So now you'll be able to, hey, Chad, you know.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping I can get a little information from them. Maybe they'll get a little from me. You know, the style of car that the impression they bought is the same style of car that I ran the last, like, 6-7 weeks of the year for Steve Kratz. We brought a new car out, like, 6-8 weeks before the end of the year, and it was a good car. And it was a little different chassis design. It was kind of like what Mann Miller and Craig were running at the end, but it was a little bit of the Ford was a little different from theirs even.
Is that what's that rubber floor? You know, who has the rubber floor? Is that the Tio?
No, they all kind of
have the rubber floor.
Troyer doesn't have a rubber floor. They Tio has one. Bicknell has about 3 different versions of it. They keep on changing because they can't get them to where everybody likes them. Their original rubber floors, they'd sell 5 of them, and one guy would like them, and their 4 guys were screaming they hated them. They wanted to kill somebody at Bicknell for even selling one. You know, so it was, you know. But now the rubber floor they have now, there are now up to, I think, like, generation 4 on it.
Okay.
And it's a lot different, and it's really pretty good. I never thought I was going to ever want a rubber floor car. And we ordered one for the Steve Kratz car, and that's what we ran, and it was a good car. And that's what, if I get a new car here, that's what I'm going to get. And that's pretty much what they're putting down in this area. I think Hurthler has one. And pretty much anybody with a new Bicknell, that's what they're getting.
That's what they're getting, the rubber floor.
Yeah.
And all it is it's just a rubber floor in it, like a mat? Or there's no tin? I mean, you know, what is that? I don't understand that.
It's just the exit of the floor has different spacing where the floor slot is that the big arms are mounted, and there's big rubber bushings that go in there. And the rods that slide through that hold everything together are mounted in rubber bushings. And then the what they call the slider box that's held in there, that also has rubber bushings in it. So it's like 2 different types of rubber bushings. And that's what they're from the rubber floor.
That's not actually a rubber floor.
No, it's just rubber bushings. Now, their original rubber floor, the X itself
had rubber bushings on the outside of the frame, and the problem was they weren't strong in the forward flex, and you could feel it moving under your feet, and it was really inconsistent. Just moved all over the place, and a lot of guys weren't happy with it.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah. Well, that's because, I mean, have you always been with Bicknell? I mean, have you been a Bicknell guy since you've been in the modified division? You know, I mean, yeah. There we go. Yeah, there you go. I mean, because I see, you got the Bicknell. Were you always a Bicknell, or were you a Troyer guy?
No, when I started out, I mean, I also was called Av.
Okay, yeah.
And I had them for a while, and then I got a ride with a guy named Neil Ports and Ted Moore. And that was a Pouch Tobias car.
Okay.
And we won a couple races with them. Yeah. Grammy Big Diamond went to low-profile tires. Kind of stole their cars pretty much. They weren't good at all.
They weren't.
Then I bought a TO in
right. Now, does Pete deal with the Bicknells, or is he just like his name's on it and that's it? That's about it. Okay. Just like Billy Colton with Troyer.
Yeah, exactly. And then they got a guy in there now, Bob Slack.
Uh-huh.
There. I think he's bought into it as an owner, and he's real big on the CNC stuff and designing new products, a lot of R&D stuff.
Okay.
And I mean, I like doing the R&D stuff, too. Back when we had this whole rubber floor deal came about, well, not even the rubber floor. The other thing that's different with these rubber floor cars is that they run different length of radius rods. The motors are in a different spot, and the torsion racks are different in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're quite a bit different.
But the motor was set back. It was
farther
ahead.
Yeah. Now the new ones are back farther, and that was kind of something me and Jimmy Horton came up with, and kind of threw it to Randy 2 years ago up at Syracuse, and he built two of them, one for me and one for Jimmy, and pretty good cars. And now they've tuned on them a little bit more, made a couple more changes. And now they've added this rubber floor, and it's made them really good.
Oh, that's interesting. Because now I'm in the infield at Grandview sometimes, and I see, there's a, I don't know if it's the Pouchy had it, Von Doren had it, that flat front, in the very front, the
right.
Run over the shocks, and then the hood scoop was set back more like
yeah.
Where the seat post was. What was the purpose of that?
Well, they're starting to do more and more with aerodynamics. Really, I had that. 2 years ago, I did that to a car. I had a special radiator made. It had no nose, basically, on it. It
yeah.
Started at the motor. But I kind of screwed that all up. I made the whole back end of the car different. And the problem was the car was locked down so hard in the track, it was slow. And I kind of took all that away and got the speed back. And now Bicknell's been messing with that. Troyer's been messing with it. Tio's been messing with it. Just mainly what they're trying to do is get more air on the left side door.
And more on the cow or on the cow catcher or the door?
Really more to catch the inside of the door. So it works
okay.
Like a sail panel. Like when we run those open comp cars at Grandview and we run
right.
The big sail panel, they're trying to do the same type of deal there.
But do you really think that helps at Grandview? I mean,
yeah.
I could see it at really.
We do that on remote control cars that go a quarter of that speed, and it makes a big, big difference.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that because Grandview being only a third of a mile compared to like Penn Nash or Sealands Grove.
Right, right. No, it makes a difference. Same deal. I mean, you drive down the street and put your hand out the window at 25 miles an hour, you feel it. You know?
Right.
Same. It just multiplies it when you're going 70 or 80 miles an hour, or 100 miles an hour. But no, air is a big deal, and people are learning that's more and more and more. And I'm working on some stuff, redesigning the tail of the car. Because
don't let out your secrets.
Not telling everybody what I'm doing, but I don't know if it'll work or not. I do a lot of stupid stuff, but
uh-huh.
We'll see. It always seems like, I've come up with stuff, and I just don't have the time, the money, the finances, all the driving ability, all the technical knowledge to figure it all out. And I seem like I kind of get it partway and I can't
and
finish
someone
it.
Takes over
and someone
from there.
Kind of takes it over and they make it right. So which
but and you don't get none of the credit.
No, no. Which I'm used to that. I've done that for a lot of years on a lot of stuff. I did a lot of R&D work on some RC cars back in the day, and I know back the only time I ever really got a lot of credit was back when Ken Parsons used to build late models up at Grandview. Basically, I was the R&D car. The last year I drove modifieds or drove plate models, and that was fun doing that. You know, we never went to the track with the same car 2 weeks in a row. We just constantly cutting that chassis up, changing stuff. But it made it good because after I quit running plate models at that point, Parsons probably had – that was back when Graham used to get 40 late models, and I bet you 30 of them were Parsons cars. You know, that was the car to have at that point, you know. So, but, yeah, I get a lot of enjoyment out working on the cars and trying to do something different and find something different. But I just, like I said, between money, finances, time, driving ability, setup ability,
right.
I just can't take it that last little bit.
Are you more of a fan of the old, remember like back, like 80s, early 90s, the Gremlin styles and the Cavaliers? Are you more of a that, or do you like what's a modified supposed to represent now? Because a pancake modified is supposed to represent a Corvette. Where? I have no clue.
I don't know.
They're supposed to be representing a Chevy Pro. You know where it used to be the Ford Pro?
Exactly.
Or the Chevy Cavalier. What's the modified?
I mean, the new Tourers are supposed to be Camaros, and I don't see it.
Really?
You know, and you know, I forget what the Big Mels are even supposed to be. I don't know. I think they might even be last year Camaros, and I don't know. I don't see it. I haven't seen it for a lot of years. You know,
yeah. I mean, I know Donley wanted to. That's what Donley had in mind.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's what he wanted to do. Yeah. But
here's a rule: if it's a modified, it's got to see. I got to see headers, and I got to see injector stack.
Yeah.
The old.
Hey, I mean, if they cut the bodies down, it would save everybody a lot of money. You know. I mean,
oh, sorry, Joe.
Because back then, you know, you look at pictures of cars from Penn National and stuff. There's the cow catcher was like 18 inches. Now.
Absolutely. I mean, it takes. I build my own bodies and stuff, and it takes 6 12-foot sheets of metal to build a body.
Six.
And
holy
I mean,
crap.
Yeah, it's a lot of aluminum. I mean, so you're talking, $100 a sheet of metal.
Yeah.
And back in the day, we used to build a whole body out of one, maybe two at the most. Even if you screwed up some, you'd use two.
Because you had the cardboard template and
and
been there, done that.
It definitely saved a lot of money if they cut some of the body back, and it saved a lot of the labor as far as weekly maintenance. If they cut some of it back and it would unhook the cars some more, which then you wouldn't have to spend $18,000 on a motor to run competitive.
Right.
And
do you have is it easy? I mean, full containment seat? Do you have full containment seat?
Yeah.
I mean, is it easy? It looks like it's got to be easier to get out of one of those, in and out of an old car than it is one of these new cars.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they were so much narrower than, I mean, you know, the bodies were at least 8-10 inches narrower back then, and it's a lot easier to get in. The roofs were smaller. The doors were lower.
The door openings are so much bigger now. Plus, now you have these
painted seats. Yep. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you have a, I mean, now that they make these cars, now we order them. You know, what they call a tall cage seat back. It's a lot easier to get in them. But if you have a standard cage car where the standard height and standard seat position, and you got a full containment seat, you got a heck of a time getting in the car. You got to contort all over the place, turn sideways, and it's hard.
I've seen some of these guys get in these cars, and some of these guys ain't tiny.
No, not at all.
You know, they're not your Kevin Herklers, you know.
Right.
He's just a little guy,
you know.
Well, that's interesting because I always wanted to ask somebody, you know, if you know, you like the old school, you know, are you old school or new school? And
yeah, it wouldn't matter to me. A race car is a race car. I mean, as long as everybody's running by the same rules, I really wouldn't care. If they told us we had to go back to the body rules we had in 1989, it wouldn't matter none to me.
And you're cool with the alcohol, with the weight limit and all that? How you feel about that? And the
gasoline,
I'm
fine with that. I mean, they're doing it right way now. You know, I think the rumor going around now is that they're going to go to 100-pound weight difference. It was 75. I don't know if that's a fact, but that's the rumor going around. That's really going to put the advantage now into the gas. The 75 pounds, it was like kind of on the fence. Mm-hmm. Now the advantage is definitely the gas. Not saying you're not going to – they're still going to get guys winning with alcohol.
Right.
But for the top teams, gas is the way to go, you know. And it saves you money in the long run. I mean, once you do the initial investment of buying a new fuel tank, changing your carburetors, or buying a new carburetor, whatever you're going to do, it saves you money because right now you're going to run an alcohol motor 12, 15, 18 races, and it's got to go back for a rebuild. If you don't screw the gas motor up, you can go 30 races.
Really?
Because you just the wear on the motor is just because the gas has so much
lubricant. Because the alcohol doesn't eat everything. Because
what happens, I mean, you, the biggest thing with the alcohol motors is when you shut them off at the end of the night at Grandview and you don't start it up again until the following week, if you looked inside that motor,
the injectors and everything,
it'd be all rust up around the top of the cylinders. And when you start up that motor that first time, you're just grinding that rust and all that crap through the rings. And that's the big thing. You end up hurting the valve seats because there's no lubrication, and you wear the rings out because of all the rust in the top of the cylinder when you fire them up. You don't get any of that with the gas. You know, it's just... Well, they stopped that years ago because guys were using that to disguise fuel additives.
Oh.
So if you ran top lube, you know, if you say you're running nitromethane in your fuel, and you went through their test and it didn't pass, you were like, oh, that's the top lube. And they couldn't disprove that it wasn't top lube. So they just made a stop running top lube. So anything that's in the fuel is supposed to be illegal. You know, now I hear New Egypt is going to allow top lube. They're opening a can of worms.
Are they?
But that's what I'm hearing. They're going to allow top lube over there because they're switching to the same rules as Grandview for the motors.
Yeah, it's a Pennsylvania 358
right.
small block.
Now I'm hearing they're not going to give you a weight break for gas.
Everybody's got to weigh the same.
Everybody's going to weigh the same, and they're going to let you run top lube. So I don't know.
Do you have a big block?
No.
I mean, okay. So now, how would you feel? This is just an opinion. If you had say you did have that big block and that track that they switched to a small block division.
Oh, Fred did that all wrong. I mean, I understand what he's trying to do, and he's probably right in wanting to make that a 358 track, but he screwed all them guys the way he did it. I mean, just to drop it. I mean, he should have done something else to get him to do it. I mean, he should have
weaned it out.
Yeah, he should have weaned it out a little bit. I mean, he should have made it a disadvantage to run the big blocks, or he should have let it go the way it was, which you could win over there with a small block the way it was, but he should have made him want to run the small block. Should have said, if you win with the 358 spec motor, I'm going to pay an extra $500 to win.
There you go.
Make them guys want to run it, you know, and till some of them guys blow their motors up and they build 358s, and guys are going to go out and build them because they're going to run for that extra money. But there's some guys that can't afford to do that, and he's going to hurt for cars, absolutely. I mean, he screwed some of them guys that are running them big blocks, you know. And like I said, I think he's doing the right thing. He's just going about it the wrong way, you know.
Well, hopefully for their sake it all works out.
Oh, correctly. I hope so, too. I don't want to see the track close, and Fred's a real decent guy, it seems like. It's just I don't understand where this came from on the way he's doing it.
Didn't he own Neil the Wheels car?
Yes.
And when that Neil the Wheel would go by you, that thing was screaming.
I mean, screaming.
Yeah.
I think I don't know why they got 358 small blocks in New Jersey. Doesn't make no sense to me.
Right.
If it's a Pennsylvania, you know, thing, I thought.
Right.
So I don't understand that. And do you think some of those guys from New Egypt might come somewhere, like go to Grandview or Bridgeport with their big blocks?
I think you're going to see some of the – I think Bridgeport's going to be the winner in this whole deal.
I agree with that.
I think Doug Hoffman, when he seen they did that, and he
– he's
smart. As soon as I seen that, I knew he wasn't going Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were talking about that Friday deal, that sealed
Doug
the deal.
Couldn't have got a better deal than what happened this winter. I mean, he's going to get cars. He's going to get people because there's pissed off fans that they want to see big blocks,
right.
You know. And
see, that's where I think down that area, that's big block area still.
Right.
But, you know, this area, I've been here since 96, and I've always, you know, small blocks.
Right.
You know, and I've come from New York where it was small blocks and big blocks. So,
right.
To me, it doesn't make no difference.
Right.
You know?
Oh, it doesn't. And that's the thing. I mean, all these people complain about, you know, it wouldn't matter at Grandview if they end up doing away with the big blocks next week or with the small blocks and said, okay, we're going to run sportsman rules. It wouldn't matter. The fans wouldn't know any different as long as Von Dorn and Dwayne, the race is going to be the same. They're not going to notice going. They're not going to know going 15 miles an hour slower.
Yeah.
The racing's still going to be good. going to be just as good. It doesn't have to, doesn't matter if it's big block, small block, what it is. You just got to have the talent there, you know?
Right. You ever want to strap in a Chuck Schutz late model?
Nah, I mean, I ran them late models for a while. They look pretty cool to drive now, but
yeah, they've changed a lot since.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I drove 2 years ago. Buddy Wharton was had a little issue and wasn't allowed to race Grandview for a couple weeks, and I was friends with his dad, Bill, and they lived not too far from me. And Bill asked me if I'd run the car, and I ran the opener, ran the first 3 weeks up at Grandview, and they definitely drove different.
Well, Swinehart tried it too.
Yeah, they definitely drive different, you know, and. You know, I mean, we finished in the top 10 all three nights with it, but, you know, and it wasn't a real high dollar
right.
equipment, but it got around the track, and, you know, another week or two, we would have been real good. I was making a lot of changes on it, and we were getting good with it.
So. Are you fond of the guardrails at Grandview?
It doesn't really matter. I think, to tell you the truth, the first year they had them, I think there was some guys that was a big advantage to guys, you know, to... Guys like Dwayne and Jeff and Craig and me and guys that raced other places and was used to running with guardrails at other tracks, there was a lot of guys I think it had really intimidated them. And they go down in the turn and they thought they were on the bottom, but they were 2 foot away from the guardrail and they were scared to get that up.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that was a big advantage the first year they had the guardrail up. That advantage isn't there anymore because now everybody's used to it. And
do you think they should put it in 3-1?
I don't know. I don't think going into one's a good deal. The way three's set up with the bigger bank like that, I don't know. I almost think it wouldn't. I don't think it could hurt having it in there because that causes some problems the way it is. You know, because it's such a big hill there to get into three. You know, but one's good the way it is because especially on the restart, sometimes everything gets so jumbled up down there. You need to be able to run. Your left front 2 foot down in the there to avoid something. And you don't ever see anybody racing down there. Now, if people were down there racing there constantly, I'd say, you know what, they got to put the guardrail up there.
Right. Well, that's why they put it in over there right. in the other corners because guys would, you know, they'd get up there on that and just kick the cinders off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was always a bottom feeder and I was always down there.
Do you like a heavy cushion, or are you like one who likes black and
black? I'd rather have it. I'd wish when we ran warmups it was black from top to bottom.
That's great. Well, you got to pedal the car then, you know? You got to pedal the car when it's all
yep.
black and slipped over.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's when a race car driver comes out.
Motor goes out the window for the most part, mm-hmm. and you got to pedal the car and get your setup right, you know? And you know, that's the deal there, you know? When you're up, when you got that big cushion and you're just...
You're just
the floor going around there. You can pull people out of the stand some nights to do that, you know. And so you know that doesn't take a whole lot. It takes some motor and just keep. If you got the car freed up enough, you don't even take a whole lot of driving.
Yeah,
that's right.
You want Jay to put the Jersey Barriers back at Big Diamond, or keep them out? Keep the Uke tires.
I think the Uke tires a little bit better. You can escape there better. You know,
uh-huh.
get down there and. The Uke tires are fine. I mean, with the guardrail, you just get the problem with the guardrail was you lose a lot of racing surface because the water would just lay down there and
lay
it would
there,
never
yeah.
dry out.
Exactly.
And it was dark down there because all the lighting's on the infield there.
Yeah.
You know, or
majority. Because when they reconfigured the track, they didn't move the lights though.
Right. Right. And there was big shadows there getting in all the way through the turns on the bottom, and you couldn't see where the mud ended in the bottom. The guardrail started, so you just couldn't race down there. You know, and the track would never dry up down there, and you're losing a couple feet of the track there. You know, so I think the Uke tires there are a better deal. You know, Grandview, some nights they get the water laying down there, and you lose a little bit of the track, but usually that's just in the middle of the turns. You know, so it has nothing to do with the guardrail. So,
right.
You know.
Well, that's interesting. I always like to ask guys, you know, their preferences. Everybody's different.
Right.
You know, everybody's different, but that's cool. That's good knowledge. I like that. You know, but what else we got? We did good. Good interview.
Excellent interview.
Yes.
Very
did you get all your sponsors plugged?
I got the pictures.
Help.
Oh, yeah, the pictures. Help. Yeah. No, I got a few other ones. I got I mean, of course, Larry Lombardo's been with me a long time. I got Twin Air, who makes air filters. They're a sponsor, product sponsor of mine. Ultra Shield's a product sponsor. Brad Penn Racing Oil, which I'm a dealer for them. I sell their oil, and they also help me out some. So I got a lot of people to help me. D&D Collision, which is in Pottstown. They help me out with, you know, taking care of my fiberglass every winter and doing stuff for me there. So that's pretty much everybody.
Well, I just want to say thank you for coming on Lowdown and Dirty.
I appreciate you having me on.
And you're like one of the last guys with an open trailer, man. That's old school, and I love that. You know,
that is
I love
cool.
Open trailer. That's because the trailer don't win the race.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
You know,
and you know, there's a team I help out. It's not somebody I drive but there's a team that I help out sometimes, and I helped them out a few times here in the last few months, and trying to find stuff in their trailer. And I finally said to the driver, I said, "Yo, you know my trailer?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "I got more crap, more parts and shit in that box. That's 3 feet by 6 feet, and this 30-foot enclosed trailer's got it." And he goes, "You're exactly right."
That's great. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot easier. I'm, you know,
a lot easier to make that swing off of Passmore Road.
Yep.
Up the hill.
Yeah, it
absolutely.
Is. Yeah, it is.
I can zing around parking lots, do whatever I got to do. I'm in and out.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I want to say, you know, on behalf of, thank you for coming on.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm glad you guys had me on.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah, Johnny, you were an excellent interview, and we wish you all the best of luck for 2013. And we're going to be seeing you around here. Obviously, you have some work to do as far as handing out some brochures for your new sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
And looking forward to seeing the new car and seeing you at the local mall shows and things of that nature.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to be up out all the shows we can get to once we get our stuff together here for trying to draw up some business for all the sponsors I got and my new one, Direct Core Auto Parts.
Awesome.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Johnny, thanks for being a guest.
You're welcome.
We appreciate everybody listening in tonight. Hope you all enjoyed the show. On behalf of Mr. Brian Whippy Whitman.
Oh, we almost nailed 2 hours.
Oh, we almost nailed it.
Dude. We're doing better and better. Dude,
we're getting this.
Yeehaw, dude.
Yup. Well, again, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you all for tuning
thank
in.
Thank y'all. There
and,
you go.
And we'll see you next Tuesday night live from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Hope you join us. We'll let you know who's going to be on the show next week.
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
We really don't know yet.
Make something up.
Yeah.
You know?
We
just
wing it.
You never know. But
so
again,
listen.
Yes.
So listen.
Yeah, you'll listen. Listen to find out. See what's going on. Remember, go on Facebook, like our page. You can find out all the latest happenings with Lowdown and Dirty. And again, thanks for tuning in, and we hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see you all next Tuesday night. Thanks for listening.